The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We have special guests today. We have Jim Cook's Painting and Remodeling Company. We have Mike Cook, who is the owner, and Bill Clark, the field supervisor. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we cover many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and you can see what's going on at Dunmore Corners. We got a roof cam.
And as the weather, well, it's
going to deteriorate.
Yes, it's a great thing to look out and the cameras to see what the road conditions are. So keep that in mind as winter comes, whether we want it or not.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Jim Cook's Painting and Remodeling Company. Mike Cook, let's start with you. You are the owner.
Yes,
how,
I am.
How long have you been in business?
Over 30 years.
Wonderful. And you do remodeling. So you not only do painting of exteriors,
we
interiors.
We do. Remodeling is new.
Okay.
We've expanded.
What do you do regarding remodeling?
We're doing kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, decks, pretty much whatever we're asked. We siding, vinyl siding.
Excellent. So you do residential and commercial?
Both, yes.
Okay. And you do exterior painting, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So how long have you been in business for 30 years? How far do you go? What areas
well,
do you cover?
Well, we're down in the mountaintop area, Wilkes-Barre, Dallas, Tunkhannock, Scranton, Clark Summit. About an hour's distance. We keep it to that.
And who is Jim? Jim Cook.
Jim is my brother. Jim and I started the business over 30 years ago.
Okay. And how does someone get in touch with you?
You call 570-351-1660.
Okay.
And you will be talking to Jim.
All right. And he likes to coordinate everything.
Jim helps us coordinate, yes.
All right. Wonderful. So for our purposes, we're going to talk about painting. A lot of our discussion is going to be focused on how to paint an interior, how to paint an exterior. What is the most important part of painting, would you say?
Staying clean. Keeping things neat, tidy, staying clean.
All right. So you are professionals. You've been doing it 30 years. So I'm assuming you're trained, you're experienced, you're knowledgeable, and you're licensed.
Correct.
So those are important. A lot of people think that painting is easy. They want to tackle it themselves. There's a lot of DIY people out there.
It really comes down to the prep work.
That's where I was going with all of this.
Yeah,
the prep work.
95%
okay.
of it's prep.
95% of it's prep.
Yeah, painting's the easy part. The prep's the hard part.
All right. So what do you have to do to prep?
Well, you got
to
make sure everything's clean, tidied up, sand it, prepped properly to where you can't see patches.
And
taped off, and go from there.
Okay. So how important are the products you use?
Most of the products are basically the same. There's really not, you know, Sherwin-Williams is probably the better paint of it all, you know?
All right. So what about if I want to choose an inexpensive paint? That's just as good as something that's...
Well, you get what you pay for.
All right. So... Don't chintz when it comes to paint?
No.
How about the tools that we use? Paintbrushes.
Brushes, rollers, sanding sponges.
You want to get a good quality.
Yes, yes, yes. You're only as good as the tools you use.
Right. So what kind of brushes would you recommend?
Well, we like to use the Worcesters, the Purdy brushes.
The sheepskin rollers.
Yeah, they're the better products.
I have tried painting using inferior products, and all I do is I have to go back and do it 3 or 4 or 5 times. I find it's worth the money to spend a few more dollars on a paintbrush. I mean, a lot of people shy away from it. I don't want to be paying $10-$12 for a paintbrush, but like you said, you get what you give.
Yes, and really they're a little more expensive than that, but part of the deal is keeping them clean as you finish.
Correct.
So that they last.
So what do you do? How do you keep your brushes clean? If you're using brushes today that you're going to use tomorrow, how do you keep them nice and soft?
Well, most paints today are water-based, so you're washing them out with hot water, maybe a little soap. If you're using the oil-based paints, you're going to be using thinners to clean them up. So, but mostly you're using the water-based today.
Okay. So, you know, I was preparing for the show, so one of the articles I found really interesting, 5 hacks if you must do it yourself, if you must paint, and they recommended it. I want to hear what you both have to say about this. Number one was, the most important, soak brushes in fabric softener to keep them soft. What do you say about that?
Well, you could do that.
But you don't.
No.
Okay. And
these guys don't look like fabric softener kind of guys to me. I gotta be very honest with you. I'm not sitting here with two guys who use final, what is it, that little bear thing.
Final touch.
Final touch, yeah, that little snuggly bear. Yeah. I don't think so.
No. Okay. But I would think that would interfere with the paint.
It's a chemical. No. I mean, it's chemicals. You don't want chemicals in your brush.
Right.
Other than what you have to put in there, you know?
Okay. So not everything you read on the internet, moral of the story, not everything you read on the internet.
Well, if you do use it, rinse it out good before you break into your paints.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, you never know, right? So that's why you're here, to help us determine what we need to do and not do. So let's go through the different rooms in a house and the different types of paints and what you would recommend someone to think about. Like, how do you pick a color? There are so many different colors of just white. There's so many different variations. There's from light to dark. So how
bright
do you...
white, a softer white, a warmer white.
Flat, semi-gloss, high gloss. There's all different kinds.
Yeah, so on your ceilings, you mostly use a flat paint. On your walls, generally a satin. On your trim work, generally a semi-gloss.
So that the trim work, like such molding, windowsills, baseboards, pops.
Right,
yes.
So that shines a little better.
Okay.
And you don't want to put a semi-gloss on the walls because it kind of shows imperfections and stuff. So you kind of leave that off of the walls. That's why you always go with a satin. Satin's durable, it's washable. Or semi-gloss is the same, but it's got that high shine to it, you know?
Okay. So is it your recommendation as the professionals to use a different type of paint in a different room, depending on usage? Like some rooms, kitchens, baths, family rooms are used every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, bedrooms, dining rooms, you're not doing a lot of...
Like a bathroom, they have the paints that are a little more mildew resistant and better for in that area.
Same within the kitchens, too. The kitchens are about the same as the bathroom. Keeps the grease down. You can wipe it off easier. It cleans up better.
So you're in the middle of a job right now, which caught my attention as we were talking before the show. You're saying that you're doing a job for an interior designer. So yes. This interior designer, who is a professional, hired professional painters to paint her kitchen. And what is she doing? Because it's a different type of job.
Well, these are cabinets that... she's having painted. And she's doing her uppers in one color, her lowers in another color, and her island black. Very attractive looking, the colors that she picked out.
So she did 3 different colors.
Yes.
Yes, she did.
Wow. So, and it's nothing like you've ever done before or seen.
Generally, you're one color.
But instead of doing a whole kitchen remodel, which can be quite expensive. She's getting a new look in her kitchen.
It did change the appearance of the kitchen. It did.
So what kind of cabinets did she have?
She had oak cabinets.
Okay. So she wanted to bring them in, make them more modern.
Yeah, more modern look.
More modern look, yeah.
And give it today's look. And right. She did this by three different colors.
Right, just on her cabinet. She never painted the walls, never did the ceiling, never done anything with the floor, just the cabinets.
Okay. How about the hardware?
kept all the hardwares the same.
And it totally transformed the kitchen.
Totally made it look different.
Well, one of the most economical ways to transform the interior of the home without going into a big remodel is painting.
Right.
If it's done correctly, you can achieve some amazing results.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. In terms of color, is there one color that you're seeing over and over again that's the most popular today?
White.
Plain white?
White is used a lot, especially on your trim work.
Ceilings are always white.
Always?
No, not always. Not always. But most of the time.
When do you see it different? When would you take the wall color to the ceiling? When would you do that?
It really depends upon what the customer is looking for in that room. You can take your color that you're putting on your walls and you can tone it down. You could put it half formula or quarter of that formula and put it on the ceiling. It'll give you a nice warm look.
When I opened the show, I had asked you how to choose a color. Is there anything that you tell people when they're really at a loss?
It's their taste. It's their preference, you know. I could pick colors, but that's for my taste. It's up to someone else to pick. I realize there's a whole fan chart full of colors, and it's kind of hard for people to pick out. But what I always say is pick out the first five that you like the most, and then we can break it down from there. We could put samples on the wall, show you exactly what it's going to look like. We could put the white base to trim or whatever color trim you want next to that color and give you an idea of what it all looks like when it all comes together.
Yeah,
it
the paint stores section, but give us samples.
Well, you get this we little swatch on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Not the same as when you put a sample on
it's
the wall.
It's not the same when you got a 2-foot by 2-foot sample on the wall. It, right. It makes a big difference.
So you do that. You yes. come in, and then so they can understand what they're going
to
be living
We always
with.
Work with the customer to give them exactly what they're looking for. That's why I said always pick the first five colors you like, and then from that we can break it down to two. Then we can go down to one. And finally get the right color that you actually want, because there is so many of them, you know?
And right, it's hard to decide.
It's hard to decide. I mean, I love this color, but I like this color. Well, put this color in your bedroom, put this color in your living room.
Yeah, sometimes you put those samples right alongside each other up against a trim work, and so they can look at it overnight
and then they can
make their choices. Yeah,
and that's usually how we get it worked out.
I think that's excellent. Excellent point. We're headed towards a break. Before we do, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 5-bedroom, 2-bath home. It's loaded with charm. It's at 630 River Street in Scranton for $99,000. This lovely home it's been in the same family since 1903. I can't believe that. This home has original pocket doors, wraparound porch, an in-ground pool. It's got a large rear deck with a great view of the valley. That's a 5-bedroom, 2-bath home that's been in the same family for over 100 years. At 630 River Street in Scranton for $99,000, and that's listed by Stephanie Silvestri of our office.
Thank you, Pat. With us today is Jim Cook's Painting and Remodeling Company. We have Mike Cook, owner, and Bill Clark, field supervisor. Before we go to break, may I have your contact information, please?
Yes, 570-351-1660. You will be talking to Jim.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my fellow realtor, husband, co-host. How are you?
I'm good, and we're back.
We're back with Jim Cook's Painting and Remodeling Company. Mike Cook, owner, Bill Clark, field supervisor. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hello.
Today, we've been talking about painting, and we've been talking about the interior of the home. You've been doing a job, and it's been different for you. You did a kitchen remodel. You did, not actually a remodel. You did kitchen painting.
Kitchen cabinet painting, yes.
It transformed the look of the kitchen.
Yes, it did, yes.
We talked about how important prep work is. It's 95% of what you do. That's how important it is. And also the proper tools. You can't chintz on that. Don't go for the inexpensive brush, roller, or anything like, or paint. It's important to spend the money.
Yes, you get what you pay for.
Okay. We talked about different types of paint. Flat, matte, eggshell, satin.
Semi-gloss.
Semi-gloss.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Yes, there is. If you have a lot of children in the house, you're going to want to use something that's easily to clean. And your satins are good on your walls for that. If you don't need that, you know, the matte finishes are a nice finish. And you see less imperfections when you're using the lower sheens.
So if you're using a gloss or a satin, the way that the light may hit something, you may see a crack or an imperfection, a bump in a wall, more than you would if you used a mat or a flat.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between flat and mat and eggshell?
A matte finish is something that you're able to clean a little bit better. A flat paint is very hard to clean.
Oh, that's the one that comes off on the rag.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one that's on the ceiling.
Yeah, and that's why you put them on ceilings.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we have a young son, 10 years old, and ever since he's been walking and talking, he likes little balls that bounce.
And they leave little circles on the walls. And I'm constantly yelling on him, no ball playing in the house. But I just talk to myself.
I hide them all over the place. They're in drawers.
There you go. You need that satin paint.
He finds them. I don't know how he does it. He should have been a cop. Maybe he will be.
And then those rubber sticky things he likes to get, and he likes to fling them on the ceiling.
He doesn't do that anymore. He used to get those like little rubber stretchy gummy things, and they'd be stuck on the ceiling.
Well, my grandson loves Sharpie, so when he goes through, he takes marking the walls up. Try painting over that.
No, the best way to keep the house clean is send the kids outside. Go out.
Okay.
Play outside.
So when you have an active household that you have children, younger children, fingerprints are everywhere, you're suggesting to go with?
A more durable paint.
Which would be
a satin.
On your trim work, your semi-gloss.
An eggshell semi, yeah. Yeah. Because it's
the
sheen.
Their prints are going to be on those areas, so you want to be able to wipe those clean.
Unless you want to frequently paint, and you go with the flat because you don't want to shine, so you're going to have to paint all the time.
Well, that's where your nap finish comes in. It doesn't quite have as much shine as like your semi-gloss or your satin, or even your eggshell has a sheen to it. But the nap finish is kind of like a flat, but it's a toss-up in between, you know, where you can at least wipe it down and it doesn't come off on the rag. So
right,
if you want a duller look on the walls, you would definitely want to stay with a matte finish.
How do you paint?
Matte.
You call it nap, I call it matte. Just saying.
How do you paint? Do you brush? Do you use brushes? Do you use rollers? Do you use sprayers? And if you do all different, when do you use those types of tools?
That's correct. We use brush and roller on certain areas. Different areas, you can use your sprayer. That's generally a house that's new.
And under new construction. When we go into someone's house, it's usually cut and roll, what we call cut and roll. That's where you cut it all in with a brush and then come back and roll it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, nothing drives me crazier than when I see brush strokes on a painted wall. And obviously that would be somebody that was maybe a novice or even on a door.
Or used a cheap paintbrush.
Okay. That's what happened there.
Yeah, you get those cheap paintbrushes, leaves those brush marks.
Okay.
Also, your roller pads have different textures to them. We like to use the sheepskin a lot because it doesn't do a lot of overspray. So that helps us with our, for cleanup. And it has a little bit of a different texture than the other pads.
I could always tell a cheap paint job when I look at the wall and there's like these little tiny pieces. It's the roller. It's the roller. It left pieces of the roller behind.
Yeah, the sheepskin rollers are far better. You get some of those, the ones that are polyurethane, what do they call them, Michael? Poly.
You got it right.
Something
there.
Like that. Those will leave marks. They'll leave little hairs on the walls and stuff like that, And you want to make sure your roller pan or your bucket or whatever you're using is clean so you're not pulling stuff out of that also. Because
even though the sheepskin are more expensive, they last you longer.
Right. You keep them clean, they'll last you a while.
The other ones, generally, you use them once, you're throwing them out.
How do you clean a roller? I noticed when I was cleaning a roller, it was like I was cleaning it for about a half hour. It seemed like the paint never, ever came out of it.
Then you cleaned it, right? It usually takes you a while to clean them out.
How about drop cloths? Is that important?
Absolutely.
You need those down. Right. So, but plastic versus cloth.
Well, we generally use the cloth.
Yeah, we use the cloth, and I'll tell you a good reason why you want to use cloth and not plastic. Because if you spill paint on plastic and you step on it, you're going to carry it all the way out to your truck. It's going to be on the bottom of your shoe, and it's going to carry it all the way out to your truck.
At least with
a cloth, it'll absorb it a little, You can at least, when you're walking, it comes off and you're not tracking it through someone's house.
On their carpet, on their floors.
On their tile floor.
There's times we use the combination of them too.
Right.
No. Okay. Plastic more for covering things.
Right.
Furniture. Counters, stoves, refrigerators.
When you go into a house and you're painting it and it's jammed with stuff.
Oh.
Bring the big boys in to move everything.
Okay.
And you consolidate it right into the center of the room. Uh-huh. Take everything, move it right into the center, and cover it.
Cover it.
Sometimes if you don't have enough room, then move it into another room. Do one room at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And just consolidate everything into the center because you got roller poles that you can always go up over everything with it when you're painting the ceilings.
Okay. That's good advice. All right. So this is what hiring a professional means.
Now, you guys were talking earlier. You talked about prep work. And I remember a few houses I went into that were like this beautiful high gloss blood red. How do you get rid of that?
You're going to prime that with a good gray primer.
Yeah, reds are the hardest colors to paint. If you're going to do red, just remember, if you think red, think gray primer. That is, you're not going to get away without using gray primer.
Also, if you're going to paint something red, say a front door, you're going to use a gray primer there also.
So just painting right over the previous paint is not a good idea?
No. You definitely want a gray primer. The hardest colors to paint are red, oranges, and yellows. They're the hardest colors to cover. So usually, and I found this out just recently, is black primer for oranges and yellows is usually your best colors because it covers and it hides better.
And it makes the
oranges and the yellows come out a lot better than it would if, say, like if I use the white primer with red, you would actually see the white behind the red. The black, when you put black for an orange, the orange actually comes out a lot
more
better.
Vibrant.
More vibrant, exactly.
Okay, so you, I'm sure, have to go to homes where someone wanted to do it themselves and something went really bad. You may have to redo it. And so what's the biggest mistake you see that people don't do.
A lot of it is in the patchwork that has to be dealt with. Very difficult for people sometimes to get that perfect smooth look back that was on the wall. And it takes a little bit of skill to have a nice smooth finish with your patchwork. So, and then you need to prime over that, not just paint directly over it. Even though some of the paints say they're a primer and paint in one, you're still better off to seal it with a good primer, then go over it with your finish paint.
No matter what, always
you're
prime.
You're better off. You come away with a better look.
You don't have to do a full prime, but just like if you do a drywall repair, say in the middle of a wall, you definitely want to prime over that. You want to dust it off after you sand it down. You want to make sure all the dust is off of it. Then you want to prime over that, and then you can use your Duration or something that's a one and all primer and paint mixed together. It'll actually cover a lot more, and you won't be able to see that patch quite as much.
So what do you do? There's a lot of homes around here that are more than 100 years old. Actually, we just had the listing of one that was more than 100 years old. And the walls are lath and plaster. And they have been painted literally 35 times. They're crooked as some politicians, let's just put it that way. But what do you do with that?
That's the time to put on the thin sheetrock right over the walls and make it a nice smooth finish again.
Glue and screw right over the top of it. It'd be the fastest way to go because you'll spend hours in there trying to patch that stuff back in.
So it would actually be cheaper to put a thin sheet of plywood? Is that
right? Yeah, 3/8 drywall sheetrock.
Sheet rock.
Yeah, 3/8 sheetrock usually goes right over it. And in those older houses, if you ever notice, they got a good thick trim on them. It's usually more than 3/4 inch. So if you're using 3/8, you're not going to lose that look. You can still glue it and screw it right over there, and then you just tape it, and then your walls are nice and flat, and you don't have to worry about the plaster. And that stuff's heavy and dusty and dirty when you want to haul it out.
That's a nasty job.
That is a nasty job.
And it looks like a brand new wall.
And it looks brand spanking new.
So when homeowners do this themselves, or anybody that does this themselves, and they have their end result is a blah-looking job, chances are they didn't use primer, correct?
A lot of times that's true, yes. Yeah, that primer is very important.
So it serves three purposes. It can block stains.
It seals.
And it seals. And it would you say it improves adhesion?
Yes, it is a bonding agent for your finished paint. To old surfaces, to the new paint. That primer is a good bonding agent.
Okay. So it's rather important, I would think.
Yes, I'd agree. And when you're just covering a stain, now you're going to be using a stain covering primer. There's different types of primer also. So you've got, and it's usually, an alcohol based?
Yes,
primer,
especially Michael? Your water stains. You want to
yeah,
use
your water
that.
Stains, you want to use like a Benz or a shellac or something like that. It's a primer that covers and it buries that stain.
Seals it up.
Rather when you're using, they got wood primer, they got drywall primer, they got masonry primer, they got primer, you know, it's depending on the project that you're doing.
Yes, the shellac base will cover a water stain better than any other primer.
Right. Yes.
And there's even a different one for bathrooms. Mildew resistant?
Oh, the sheetrock is mildew resistant for bathrooms. And your finished paints now, for bathrooms, you want to use the ones that are mildew resistant.
Right, and yes. It's usually like a kitchen and bath paint is what they call it.
Okay.
If you're going to Sherwin-Williams or you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or even Glico, you could just ask them, you want a kitchen and bath, and they'll have that, and it has the stuff in there to help keep the mildew down.
Got it. We're out of time, guys. Would you come back next week?
Sure.
We would love to.
Okay, Jim Cook's Painting and Remodeling Company. Contact info, please.
570-351-1660, and you will be talking to Jim Cook.
Thank you. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch-style home at 469 Adela Road in Clark Summit for only $199,000. This 12-year-old home has been beautifully maintained, and it is in move-in condition. It has central air conditioning, a 2-car garage, a large rear deck, and a great backyard. And if you need additional living space, all you have to do is finish this large basement. That's a 12-year-old, three-bedroom, two-bath home in move-in condition at 469 Adela Road in Clark Summit for only $199,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
And to all our veterans and active military, we want to thank you for your duty and sacrifice to our country. We appreciate you and all that you do to keep us safe. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.